July 15th. It happens all too suddenly. Let go! Doing this is both a violation of military protocol and a crime! She's in her room, what she considered to be her last bastion, where she could be safe from the men. But the ones restraining Minori are acting like they're not doing anything out of the ordinary. Despite how forceful he's being, Minori happily accepts the man penetrating her vagina. Her asshole swallows another man's dick without any resistance. I don't want this! I'm a soldier! Minori moans sweetly as she tries to resist, but her body relaxes before long. The sound of the cock churning up her pussy scrambles and melts her mind. Why? Why does it feel so good? She's being raped, taken by force, so why do her pussy and ass give in so easily? Her heart whispers to her. Of course it feels good. I'm not a soldier after all. No, I'm a soldier. I followed in Lisette's footsteps to... Right. I gave my all to follow in Lisette's footsteps, so that's why I'm a sex doll now. That's right. I trained hard so I could be just like Lisette, a perfect sex doll that can service any man. That's who I am. The only thing good about me is my pussy. Minori, pull yourself together. Ah, fuck me harder. Minori! It's just the three of us here. No one's raping you. It was all a dream. The moment Minori realizes that, she's flooded with terrible shame. Recently, the three of them have been having wet dreams every night, leaving their clothes utterly soiled at the end of the ordeal. As a result, they started sleeping in the nude, which is why they're completely naked right now. The love juices and sweat staining their sheets and the wet pubic hair clinging to their skin makes it clear that the other two girls are just as aroused. These two have already seen her at her worst and are most humiliated, but Minori can't help but still feel pathetic in front of them. Upon realizing that her fingers are still vacantly toying with her nipples without her even meaning to, Minori wishes she could bury herself alive. I'm sorry. You don't have to apologize. I have naughty dreams all the time, too. Yeah, you keep moaning Satoru, Satoru all the time. At least keep yourself restrained in your dreams, why don't you? At least let me be free in my dreams. Seeing the two of them bicker like always, Minori finally manages a small smile. Small. If she were partnered up with anyone but them, she really would have been reduced into a plaything for the men and nothing more. The emotional scarring she suffered is simply that heavy. Her future and past have both been disgraced, trampling upon her heart. As if to punctuate her newfound weakness, she was raped right as she hit rock bottom. She has admitted time and time again that she isn't a soldier, but a sex slave. Her raped body was put on display before her colleagues, utterly destroying her reputation among them. Minori is in a fragile state right now, both physically and mentally. Thanks to her roommate's sincere encouragement, she's become capable of deploying her special warfare gear again, but her strength is greatly diminished. Night after night, she admits she is a sex doll in her wet dreams, rejoicing in being raped. She can't help but feel that with her getting progressively weaker, she's nothing more than a liability for the other two. Maybe she's putting them in danger by being in the same group as them. Just then, Ayusha slips into her bed. No! You're my precious partner, Minori. I won't consider ever teaming up with anyone but you and Nana, you hear? Nana climbs in Minori's bed as well, from the opposite side. Yep, I got all horny listening to your voice, so we're even. But tomorrow, and besides, Ayusha... Nana presses her large breasts against her, rubbing their nipples together. At the same time, her fingers sneak towards Minori's pussy, gently stirring it up. You're not the only one who's horny here, Minori. Can you feel how hot my boobies are? Come on, don't be shy. Ayusha settles behind Minori, running her tongue over her neck and teasing her butthole. Really? Ayusha, don't. I don't want to, but... That's right. It doesn't matter how horny or weak we get, the three of us are going to make it. All three of us for sure. We won't be like our predecessors so long as we stick together. You're right, the three of us. It's strange. The two of them are doing the same thing the men in her dream are doing, but it's so pleasant. If it's with these two, then she's okay with it. At some point, Minori tangles her legs around Ayusha and kisses her. At the same time, she gently fondles Nana's breast, rubbing their heated bodies against each other. Oh, wow. Nana, your boobs are so soft. Oh, Lord, are they going to have like a threesome? Minori, your lips taste so good. Touch me all you want. You're so cute, Minori. Enveloped by the bodies and scents of her precious sisters in arms, Minori feels her heart finally feel peace. Find peace, rather. Well, nope. Damn, they completely screwed you guys out of a fucking orgy scene. Wow. Bad metal logic. Bad. If you wanted a fucking Yuri threesome, you got fucked. They said, nope, not gonna waste the CGs on that. But it happened. Just think about it. All three of them did do something in that bed, and you're not gonna get to see it, and neither am I. Thanks, Metalogic. July 16th. A lady they'd only ever seen before on TV now stands before the three of them wearing a perfect, dazzling smile. Incidentally, I've heard the number of CC you defeated is higher than the hero Lizette's yearly average. Do you have any thoughts with regards to that? Minori's group is being interviewed. The headline of the report says that they're supposed to be the birth of a new hope that will match Lizette. We can only do it because the three of us are working together. It only lets me appreciate how great Lizette really is even more. Minori does know, of course, that new hopes like them pop up every year. Or perhaps it'd be more correct to say they're manufactured, only to be forgotten the following year. Any media coverage regarding the cathedral's product for mass consumption. The woman interviewing them has asked all these questions time and time again before today. Wow, what a textbook answer. You can brag, you know. Like, just you wait, Lizette. The name of Minori Iizuka will strike terror across the solar system. Across the solar system or something. The program director behind the reporter clicks his tongue in frustration. What Nana just said deviates from the script. Ayusha, being used to interviews, quickly covers up for her. Why should she strike terror in people? Besides, what about you, Nana? Don't you have something to say yourself? I'm fine playing the supporting role. I mean, my boobs are big anyway, so I already stand out more than you two. Ha. That's another unscripted line. She likely didn't memorize the script to begin with, and she isn't paying any attention to the teleprompters either. But the reporter is a professional. She takes the opportunity to smooth things out by commenting on how well they get along. The way she laughs seems deliberately photogenic. Speaking of, I heard you're from Mars, Miss Minori Iizuka. Can I assume that you're fighting to take revenge on the CC for destroying your homeland? It is said that on the day of the tragedy in Mars, the hero Lizette saved a single girl. Were you that girl by chance, Miss Iizuka? The teleprompter tells her to say yes. Yes. I've wanted to be like her ever since. That's why I wanted to join the Special Warfare Troopers Corps. Speaking those lines aloud makes Minori feel like that motive was nothing more than a pipe dream. After all, right now, Lizette is in a terrible state. She's just a sex doll. You made your dream come true, then. The reporter says that cheerfully, but it almost sounds like she's talking about herself. Her acting is perfect, considering she probably doesn't mean a single word she's saying. By this time next year, Minori Izuka will have been consumed and destroyed, and the reporter would be here again interviewing another special warfare trooper. On this base, Minori's dream was nothing... Well, I was going to say nothing more, but never anything but a fantasy. Minori has to wonder how it would feel to answer the reporter's questions with the truth. That Lizette is mentally crippled, the troopers are playthings for the men, and the cathedral is a degenerate hellhole. It's pretty clear what would happen if she tried to, though. She'd be dragged away and the interview would continue as if nothing happened. This whole thing isn't a live broadcast anyway, so anything she says can be edited out. Yes, I'm very happy right now, Minori says, feeling utterly powerless inside. The interview ends and another media crew walks in. Apparently this crew is related to Yusha's agency. They extensively cover reports on showbiz and other topics related to it. Dirty vulgar entertainment by dirty vulgar people for dirty vulgar people, to quote a Yusha. The clothes they're wearing are the same as the costumes they wore when servicing the inspection team. It conjures memories of the time she was brutally raped. Thinking of that causes the CC tissue in her uterus to throb. A warmth spreads through her vagina, making love juices form a stain in her scant panties. Getting so excited from the memory of being raped is a grim reminder of how obscene a woman she's become. Special warfare troopers fight against giant invading aliens by transforming into lovely forms. If one were to look at them from only that angle, they really would look just like magical girls. The entire theme of this particular interview is real-life magical girls. The three of them strike all sorts of poses. They get countless photos taken of them, both as a group and individually. They aren't forced to get naked, but the pictures do include the way their nipples stick out from under their clothes and shots of their risque underwear. They even take suggestive pictures of them pressing their bodies together and kissing. Even though their instructions are just to assume poses, it feels like the instructions they're giving Minori are particularly indecent. They keep demanding that she pose with their legs open or with their buttocks thrust out. They're treating the girls like they're merely merchandise. These professionals likely picked up on the fact that Minori was in a mental state where she would resist the least. In other words, she was easy prey. Their pictures focus on her nipples where they're erect beneath her clothes and the pubes sticking out of her underwear on the shape of her slit and on the dark folds of her anus where they're sticking out from underneath her stretched panties. Whoops, we'll try that again. These men who came here on behalf of the media, who have never risked their lives in battle or even known hardships in their lives, lustfully look at her with vulgar smirks. Intellectual-looking women in suits look down on the girls with scorn as if they were above the girls who were only good for seducing men. Minori desperately tries to maintain her awkward smile as she puts up with this terrible experience, but even so, her heart is ravaged by her sense of sheer helplessness. Even if she makes it through this, this interview isn't the only hell that's in store for her. The deployment port. No, this entire base is a hell designed to torment them. They're exhausted by arduous combat, and when they return, tired and battered, they're swarmed by men who ruthlessly molest them with their so-called medical checks. Ever since the inspection committee paid their visit, that hell has only grown more intense. Many of the members of the Corps learned of Lizette's current state that she's been reduced a little more into a sex slave. All that's left is a tattered shell of a hero who can only fight with the help of machines. A few of them also got to meet some of the other senior troopers. Those girls' eyes were all hollow and vacant as they simply allowed themselves to get raped. The terrible news spread through the special warfare troopers like wildfire. Every girl was resisting like Minori has now given up, the rebellious spirit shattered. Having Minori's raped and broken body held up for display is doused the last of their belligerence. Minori's terrible defeat hammered home a sense of powerless resignation into the hearts of the other special warfare troopers. They have no more future. The only thing they can do is survive. Any attempt to resist will only bring about further punishment to force them to submit. Most of them felt that way. Who could blame them? 70% of the girls have given their bodies to the men out of resignation. By now, the men didn't even bother to drag them into the shadows. They raped the girls openly during their inspections. Minori and her two friends tried to keep each other's spirits up. Minori was still just barely capable of refusing the men's cocks during inspections. But were it not for Nana and Yusha, she would have let Callahan rape her a long time ago. But that just meant subjecting her to a different kind of torture, one where her inspections were drawn out and thorough. forcing her to climax multiple times before they let her go. Even outside of the deployment port, their torment doesn't end. It never ends. It never will end. With the interview and photo shoot done, the three of them return to the residential block. They're off duty today. However, even their own residential block isn't a place where they can rest easy. As soon as they enter, they notice a strange scent, one that's sour and acidic like a filthy animal. When they pass through the common room, they attempt to ignore the scene before their eyes. Male officers, drunk off their desire to dominate women, are raping some special warfare troopers from behind. Strictly speaking, they're not actually raping them. The men manage to coerce the girls into consenting. That's the source of the stench permeating the residential block. Sounds that one would never expect to hear on a military base echo out of the shadowy corridors and from behind the doors to the girls' rooms. It's actually not true! We've already talked about how crazy the girls can be in the barracks. I've heard several stories from men that have served about a bunch of women that went into the barracks and they locked the doors and it was... That's what you heard. They're all having sex. The scents of semen, sweat, love juices, and saliva soak into the cathedral's hall, forming a strange sort of miasma. Many girls have started spending their off-duty time in the men's residential block, whether they go there on their own or get dragged there. Either way, the result is the same. So long as it's consensual, the men can do anything to them. That's the sole law that is still ruled over the cathedral. Or still has rule over the cathedral, but you know. Some girls are forced to consent. Others prefer sleeping with the men like their lovers, choosing that over being raped. The three pass by other girls every so often. None of them are wearing the standard UEF uniform. Instead, they're wearing the combat uniform in order to accentuate their curves. They do this because the men treat them better when they find them more attractive. Before long, girls would start walking around naked and it wouldn't be seen as abnormal in the slightest. None of them have exercised in the past 6 months, and they've lost all their muscle tone. Although their figures are still similar, their muscles have given way to softer curves. Their bodies have gone through the same changes that Minori's body has. It took just over 6 months for most of the girls to have their wills undermined and dominated, submitting in both mind and body. They all look at Minori and Yusha with contempt and disgust. Some girls have even started flipping Minori's skirt up in the halls, just like the men do. At first, it was merely rumored that Minori secretly offered up her body to the men to curry favor with them. Nowadays, those rumors are taken as fact. There is some biology to this. As one of my longtime followers and fans has commented, he is a biochemist. And he had some amazing information to share, so if you don't mind me sharing this information from a man that knows what he's talking about. Here we go. Basically, he says to me... Well, I thought I had it here. Okay. Let me see here. Yeah, he said, Oh, I don't know where it was. But anyway, he said something to the tone of, the more women consume sex, the more that women have sex, like a lot of sex, the more it builds up their testosterone. And the more testosterone they get, the more amorous they get, the more horny they get. So that's why they're starting to get attracted to the other women, because they're essentially becoming men themselves. You know, hey, that could be an interesting theory to why a lot of the women are going after other women now, because they've had so much sex with just other men, and that testosterone, all that hormone is going into them, and it's actually kind of making it more masculine, where they might actually be looking for women, which is kind of weird, but that's biology. I could be getting this wrong, but that's more or less what he was telling me. This isn't bro science. So, definitely, you know, look into it, because I think it is something that could be happening. And in this case, it does seem like it's happening here, with the women starting to get more aroused by the other women, because they've had so much sex with men. So much of the testosterone has been raised inside of them from having so much sex. At first, it was merely rumored that Minori secretly offered up her body to the men to curry favor with them. Nowadays, those rumors are taken as fact. It usually looks like she's on the verge of quarreling with them, but Minori simply shakes her head weakly. This is probably unavoidable. By the time Minori returns to the only place in the cathedral where she truly feels like she can relax, she's exhausted both physically and mentally. You shouldn't have to put up with that too, Minori, Ayusha says, seething. But I kind of understand why they do that. Whose side are you on? They're saying Minori slept with the men to get on their good side, so she deserves what she got for being exposed. What were they even looking at? I just said I can understand why they do that. That's all. I mean, it makes it easier to stomach that Minori lost after trying to fight those dirty men. Oh, so that's why, Minori thinks to herself. Nana's explanation makes it clear why she can't deny the girl's accusations. They're right. I did lose. I let everyone down. Minori's nothing more than a pathetic joke by now. The fact she tried to fight back ultimately only served to shame her even further, causing things to get worse as time passes. But some of the girls do understand. For example, the girls who were suppressed during the protests were on Minori's side. But I probably disappointed them too. I called myself a sex doll and everything. That's fine, we haven't lost yet, you're still fighting, aren't you? She refuses to sleep with the men out of pretty much stubbornness, but that is the only reason... Yeah, that's the only reason that remains, her mind and body pretty much have given in already. Minori forces herself to swallow those words. Yeah, thank you. At this point, Nana and Ayusha are the only things keeping Minori from completely succumbing. Her only goal now is to avoid betraying her friend. You don't need to thank me for this. Well, see, they could have just taken out. It could have been her only goal now is avoiding betraying her friends, but that sounds kind of weird. I don't know. You don't need to thank me for this. Ayusha trails off bashfully. We're friends after all, but Nana finishes her sentence without hesitation. You're not supposed to say stuff like that out loud. It's lame and awkward. But that's about right, yeah, so stop apologizing. After bluntly admitting that, Ayusha turns her gaze to a probable terminal, as if to avoid having to say anything more. I need to go out for a second. Ayusha briskly takes off her translucent combat suit. Minori's been seeing it every day now, but Ayusha's body is really pretty. By now, her gracefulness, which once gave the impression of a sharp blade, has become slightly plumper and softer, making her even more alluring. It feels like she's getting prettier by the day. Did you get called? You don't have to say it out loud. I'm going out on business, okay? On the day Minori was at her lowest and couldn't manifest her special warfare gear, Ayusha let her in on something. Ayusha was going to try to become the commander's mistress. If she were his mistress, it could make life easier for them all and help give them beneficial information. I'm pretty confident, she said. He's been calling for me more often than he has for the two of you. And I'm pretty smart, too. He's been having me handle secretary work. The commander has a thing for me, and it looks like he's getting bored of Cersei. I don't like it. That man's terrible, but we're definitely getting out of here alive. So to make sure of that, I'm going to wrap him around my little finger. You sure you can do that? Minori didn't take her seriously at the time. If she had known that Ayusha was serious, she would have begged her to stop. But Ayusha was, in fact, serious. Ayusha wouldn't say what kind of deal she struck with the commander, but she was apparently informally acknowledged as the commander's mistress. I'm telling you, I never thought I'd have to put on clothes like these outside of my idol gigs. Ayusha put on a very revealing kapal. I think that at least lets you put on panties if this was an idol gig. Why do you always have to say stuff no one wants to hear? But just like Nana pointed out, Ayusha isn't wearing anything underneath that skimpy dress. She calls herself his mistress, but it's abundantly clear what her true duties are. Minori's heart sinks each time she sees Ayusha in that outfit. Seeing her precious friend reduced to a sex slave feels like her failure playing out before her very eyes. Oh, Minori, come on. The way you're looking at me, it's like you're thinking of taking my place or something. But you can't. You're too awkward for this. Minori isn't confident she'd be able to act as the commander's mistress. That much is true. What about me, though? I think I'd be good enough. Me and the commander have pretty good sex. I'll admit you're not the kind of dimwit I thought you were at first. But you can't let yourself get distracted, you know? No going, oh, it feels good. Forgive me, Satoru. Forgive me, Satoru, you hear? Oh, okay. Wow, Ayusha, you really know me well. Anyway, I'll go take care of business real quick. As soon as Ayusha leaves, Minori is left beside herself with concern. But no matter how much she broods over it, she can't do anything to change it. Ayusha's gonna be fine, Minori. I mean, she calls herself his mistress, but she has to walk around like that. And she's so exhausted whenever she comes back. What is he doing to her? Minori didn't dare utter the word slave. It would be an insult to Ayusha who was putting herself on the line for them. Don't you think Ayusha's been getting prettier lately? He says, yeah. See, this is just me speaking from personal experience, but when a girl gets pretty like that, it's usually because she found someone she likes. So I think Ayusha's really into the commander, so she'll be fine. Oh, but don't tell Ayusha I said that. That's not true. Banana, surprisingly enough, simply looks Minori right in the eye. That's what I like about you, Minori. You're so straightforward and you never look at what's happening around you and you're always so sure your perspective's absolutely right. It's why you always try so hard, and it's why we always feel like we can cheer you on, or like that's what I thought. But when you started cheering us up too, I ended up liking you even more. That's why I worry about you, like you, and want to do what I can for you. But that's not always good enough. Sometimes facing reality makes life easier. Minori can't find the words to answer that. Nana's background, personality, and temperament are completely different from hers. If it was before they got to know each other, Minori would never admit it. But now things are different. Minori knew and cherished them both. That's why I said that Yusha's gonna be fine. I don't understand, and I don't like it either. But if you say so, Nana. No, this is where you say you're not one to talk, Nana, right? Huh? You bring that up now? You're so honest, Minori. I like that about you. Nana smiles happily. I love you, Minori. She takes Minori by surprise with a kiss. She seductively presses her plump body against Minori's, pushing her down onto the bunk bed. Oh. Minori and Nana lie side by side on Nana's bed. Their naked bodies gleam with sweat. The scent of sweat and love juices hanging in the room served as evidence of their repeated lovemaking. Wow, and we don't get CGs for that either. You really... You really come so easily, Minori. I'm surprised you can hold it when a man teases your pussy and clit. I mean... I mean, I feel relaxed when you do it, Nana, so, it makes me more sensitive. Minori's beside herself with embarrassment, but she doesn't feel much self-loathing at all. The fact she's currently in the afterglow of their lovemaking helps. Heh, and you always moan so hard when Yusha's doing it, too. The three of them have been having sex together more often these days. Again, where's the CGs, Metalogic? Whenever the three of them are together, they can find respite from this cruel, terrible world of obscenity. It's only when they have sex, drinking in each other's sense and softness, that they don't have to dwell about the bad things. Sometimes I do want to make you and Yusha feel good too, you know? But Minori's always the first to come. Unlike when the men force her to do so, it only feels good. There's still a little too soon for you, Grasshopper. Your training is still lacking. Or that's... Sorry, it's late. As always. It's still a little too soon for you, Grasshopper. Your training is still lacking. It scares me. It's like my body keeps getting dirtier and hornier. Don't worry about it. It'll work itself out soon. Nana sounds oddly confident about that. You always say everything will be fine no matter what happens. Well, I have my reasons to think that way. Remember those people that came to interview us? They already left the cathedral, right? Minori nods, glancing at the display on the edge of the bed. Well, I think I might have pulled off something that you and Yusha couldn't. What do you mean? Were you two fucking again? Oh, hey, well, what do you expect? You were out. Oh, and good work out there. Yusha wearily sits on the bed. She clearly just had rough sex with a man. Her hair is disheveled and her skin is still alluringly flushed. The commander's giant hard and terrible cock probably fucked her repeatedly. The moment she realizes she's imagining one of her best friends sleeping with the commander, Minori blushes with self-loathing and shame. Don't you hate me, you really put yourself in danger back then. She looks at Nana, completely exasperated. We got the letter you left with the thugs from the news crew. Oh, but I was sure if I addressed it to my family and wrote a real tearjerker, they'd definitely make a story out of it. So that's why Nana was so confident everything would go well. Those crews pay special fee for the right to take interviews here. They won't risk that for this kind of story. Besides, everyone who comes here is more or less in cahoots with the cathedral. Wow, Nana, thanks. Minori's moved by Nana's courage. She would never have imagined that Nana would take that kind of risk. Heh, thanks for the compliment, Minori, but of course I'd do it. You two try so hard that I can't be the only one who doesn't do anything. Yeah, but you'll never accomplish anything that way. I managed to keep it secret because I'm the commander's mistress, but if I wasn't, you'd be in big trouble. Oh, and Minori, I erased all the files from the one guy who took all your racy photos. The only photos that'll get published are the modest ones. Although there was no part of Minori's body that hasn't been seen by someone else by now, knowing that her lewd body won't be shown on TV does comfort her. But Ayusha, it's not so much because you're his mistress, it's because that's the commander's policy, right? You're surprisingly sharp sometimes. Sure, being his mistress just means I hear news a bit sooner than everyone else, but on a battlefield like this, that little bit goes a long way. Nonetheless, impishly for some reason. I'm kind of happy now. What's gotten into you? You're being weird. I just thought that even if we bitch about each other sometimes, we always get along, so I'm really glad I got to be with the two of you. What, are the girls in the other groups not getting along? Nope. I mean, we've lived together in the same room since we came here, right? So we know each other really well, but it's not the same way with the other groups. They are talking too fucking much, guys. I'm gonna have to go through this. Oh yeah, I've heard about it, but I've seen it a few times too. The girls that went to the officers' academy still don't get along with the ones that didn't. And now that so many of us have died, the rooms are all mishmashes of girls from different groups, so they don't get along well. Remember Alicia from Group 2? I think she didn't fit into her new group too. Alicia Orion. She had tan skin, red hair, and special warfare gear that looked like a dancer's outfit. She was Group 2's ace, but she died in battle just the other day. You think that's the way she died? Probably. They put her to fill the gap in Group 10, but she didn't get along with them, so she rushed ahead to the rest of their teammates, got isolated, and went missing. Really? She saw her take the lead with the men so many times in the deployment port. It always looks like she was doing so much better than Minori, but she actually turned out to be so fragile. Oh, and remember Key, the one who liked movies? Second Lieutenant Emma Keenan from Group 10? She's in Group 8 now. They say she shuts herself away in her room without talking to her roommates, just watching movies all the time. And Osea might have been part of her group for just a short while, but now she's dead. I hope she's okay. I guess the three of us just have to get along that much better then. Ayusha takes off her skimpy kipao and climbs onto the bed naked. She slides into the opposite side from Nana before starting to touch Minori's body. Don't do that so suddenly! Her body is still recovering from how thoroughly Nana pleasured her, meaning she's more sensitive than usual. Really, you're so sensitive, Minori, especially when I go a little into your butt? You really get greedy in that cute little way of yours. She just came, but Ayesha groping the weak spots in her anus causes her lower body to once again throb with lust. I'll make you squeal too, Minori. Her two friends start caressing her from both sides. Minori's shame and resistance toward the two of them is far too feeble to protest against their advances, and she soon starts to drown in pleasure once more. But right in the middle of it all, Ayesha throws the blanket over all three of them and starts whispering to them. Stay still and listen to me, okay? I don't know exactly when it'll happen, and the decision isn't final yet, so you can't talk to anyone about this, okay? The air lingering under the blanket reeks a bittersweet scent of young lady's skin, sweat, and nectar. Remember how I told you there were two other girls in my idol group that died? They kept broadcasting doctored footage to make it look like they were alive, but apparently their popularity fell off hard. So the cost of having the footage doctored isn't worth it anymore. Now they're thinking of having you two in the footage instead and selling it for propaganda to the military. Minori almost raises her voice in surprise but manages to restrain herself. Wait, does that mean they'll let us go back to Earth? No way! Well, it might actually happen. Apparently there's something called the Solar System Tour. A few things click into place within Minori's head. Not only was Group 14... especially popular among the committee members, the media wouldn't have asked to interview them in particular if they weren't already famous. All their hard work wasn't for nothing. Still, there's got to be a downside to this. Their decision isn't final yet, right? And even after they make it, they'll probably still have someone nasty like Callahan chaperone us. You're surprisingly calm, but yeah, we'll be doing it on the military's watch, and we might just be going around military bases for sympathy calls. And well, we'll probably do the same thing we did with the guests there. But if we can get out of here, there's bound to be more hope for us outside this base. But are you sure if the decision becomes official, they'll announce your two friends died in battle? And I don't know if I can be an idol. I can't dance or sing. Is that okay? Under the darkness of the blanket, Ayesha wraps her arms around Nana and Minori. Right now, no one's more important to me than you two. Whoa, now we gotta fight. Wow. Things really have changed. And that seems like a good stopping spot. Okay, so that's it for March and Deadonygus. And I'll do it again in April. How about that? But at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I will be out with Grimm's Hentai Corner, and we'll see you next week with more... Dead, well, not next week. Next month with more Deadonygus, but next week with another game.